Thank you, Charlie. Good evening.
Good evening.
Often when counseling married couples, I use the illustration of life's blood, the life's blood of a person. You can have a little blood taken out and wouldn't even notice it, like when we cut ourselves or we have a nosebleed or something like that. You could have enough blood taken out that you were lightheaded and ready to pass out. Okay, we need to get a grip on this. Something's not right. I'm losing too much blood. You keep taking blood out of the body and the temperature begins to drop. The heart rate becomes erratic and you will die. However, even at that point right there, if at the point that you die, you pass from this life due to lack of blood, if you stop the blood right there, there would still be blood in the body. We would die, but there would still be blood in the body. Communication is like this. You can take some of the communication from a relationship and you barely notice. Sometimes couples go through this when they've been married for a while and they just don't communicate like they used to. You can take more of the communication out of the relationship and there will be a noticeable problem. Each partner begins to weaken and love begins to grow cold. Take enough communication out of that relationship and the relationship dies, even if there is still a little communication left. This principle is used not only in marital relationships, but in any relationship. Relationships between you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your boss, you and your employees, your neighbor, any relationship we have with one another, within this world or within the realm of this world, communication is a key part. When studying animals, you'll find that they all have their own form of communication, whether it is a series of chirps, whistles, clucks, or barks, howls, yipes, whatever the case may be, they will communicate. Well, they communicate with one another, but their communication is almost always something of necessity. I'm over here. Hey, there's danger in the area. Hey, do you find me attractive? Those types of things. They're not communicating the way that we as God's creation communicate. Many fail to realize that we do communicate in ways other than verbal communication. We have nonverbal communication and can say a whole lot of things through nonverbal communication. I've used a technique from the pulpit where I will be talking and I will slap the podium and it will kind of jars people, wakes people up, the sides a little bit louder. I know where the hollow spots are and I know I can get people's attention by popping that. And some of you jumped every single time and it just, I'm getting the point across and the point is getting across. So there is nonverbal communication that we communicate and you can tell if I'm mad or if I'm angry. There are some people that when they speak and you'll have speakers that step up to the pulpit or to the podium, they will take the exact same amount of space back. They will step and they will begin to speak and they will speak the same all the way through and they're very monotone. Their tone never changes. And the communication is a little bit different than those who have infliction within their voice and they will speak things and say things and get excited about things and shout out. Okay, so why talk about communication? For one, as was just mentioned, communication is the lifeblood of any relationship. Without it, relationships die. And for two, God gave us the ability to communicate so that we can converse with Him and with one another. He didn't give that ability to anyone else. I've watched coyotes working together and they kind of watch each other and they learn from each other and they go and they will, almost like a team, they will tag team each other. They work together. But they really don't communicate, and it would be very dangerous for us on the planet if the animals could communicate with each other as well as we communicate with each other, even in our worst. So God gave us the ability to communicate so that we can communicate with one another. God spoke the world as we know it into existence. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. But when God spoke the world, look at this. Genesis 1, 3, God said. Genesis 1, 6, God said. Genesis 1, 9, God said. Genesis 1, 11, God said. Genesis 1, 14, God said. Genesis 1, 20, God said. Genesis 1, 24, God said. Genesis 1, 26, God said. Genesis 1, 28, God said, be fruitful and multiply. multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. God created man and immediately began to communicate with him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So God communicated his will to man and gave man the freedom of choice. At that point, he gave man the freedom of choice. This is what you should do. This is what I'm telling you. He commanded him. He didn't say, let me give you a suggestion here. There are some things you can touch and some things that you can't. He gave him a command. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and there he gave the command. Now, it's sad that so many people today want to guess or presume or to flat out make up what God wants or expects from us. The reality is that God has spoken. He has made it very clear what he wants and expects. There's no need to guess. There's no need to make up things or to fill in the gaps. Now, here's another problem. Communication, as I mentioned, is the blood of any relationships. Now, consider this. Without communication on our part, the church as we know it dies. The church as we know it dies without communication. In fact, we can see upsets within the congregation when there's no communication or when communication is poor. Call me a liar, but the proof is in the numbers. We can't beat people over the head to get them to obey the gospel. We also can't just open the Bible and say, see, I told you. There it is right there. How many times have you heard of preachers be accused, or teachers, or just Christians in general, accused of telling somebody, you're going to go to hell if you don't do this? And that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. But that's very poor communication. And it doesn't work. And we've seen that it doesn't work. You can't just open the Bible and say, see, I told you. You have to learn how to effectively communicate. Effectively communicate. One of the things, when I went to Southwest, I was at Southwest, and I thought, well, this is really cool. They're going to teach you how to preach. They don't teach you how to preach there. You preach however you preach. That's it. They don't teach you how to preach. It's called a preaching school. You know what they teach you? They teach you the Word of God. Get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you, and you're in it for 8 hours a day for 2 years. 2 years. Now, they do have some classes there, and they've changed over the years. They add some or take away some, and they have some classes that kind of help you a little bit. But for the most part, they teach you how to be a godly person, and then you preach from the overflow. And there are people that go to that school not to be preachers, but just to get a better knowledge of the Bible. We have an enhanced biblical studies class on Thursday nights, two semesters a year. Some of you are very familiar with this. Some of you don't know anything about it, but we go to this class two semesters a year in San Antonio. And the design of this class was to enable the average person to experience what a student experiences when he's at the Southwest School of Bible Studies, or to enhance your biblical knowledge. To give people an opportunity to enhance their biblical knowledge, get to know the Bible better. The more I know the Bible, the better I can communicate what it says and what God wants me to say. So God didn't just give us the ability to communicate so that we could sit around and talk about the weather. That's a side effect. That's a side effect. The fact that we can sit there and get excited about telling about our grandkids, or telling about a football game, or telling about a hunting trip, or telling somebody about anything, just idle conversation, is there to help us and to amuse us. But he gave us the ability to communicate so that we can tell others about him. We marvel at the fact that we're the only ones on the planet that can communicate thoughts and ideas. However, communication has been a part of man's life and livelihood ever since man was created. So let's take another look at what God said in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, keep in mind that when God said that to Adam, Eve had not been created yet. Eve had not been created yet when God said that to Adam. However, when Satan came and tempted her, listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. There are some things that are interesting here. First of all, the serpent was able to communicate. He was able to speak. We understand and know that that serpent was none other than Satan. So was the serpent there when God told Adam, you shall not eat of this fruit? Because somehow he knew about it. Somehow he knew about it. Or was it one of those things that God gave man the ability to communicate, and he started communicating. He started talking. Hey, guess what God said? Hey, you know what God said? God said, I can eat this tree. He said, I can't eat that tree. God said this, God said, and so Satan knew it by that. Whatever the case may be, Adam wasted no time. Once Eve was created, he wasted no time in communicating to her what God had said concerning the forbidden fruit. She knew because he told her. She then communicated that message to Satan. However, Satan was able to twist God's word, and man's life changed forever. The direction of man's life, or the course of man's life, changed because Satan was able to twist God's word and convince Eve through communication something that was not. Why is communication so important? Remember the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it says here, and beginning in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. There's some important things to learn here. First of all, they were all of one language. Have you ever tried to speak to someone who does not speak your language? And they sometimes try to communicate back, and they speak in their language, and you say something in your language, they say something theirs, and they're like, this is not working. Sometimes they just look at you and shrug. No entiendes, no comprende. I don't know. Yo no sé, I don't know. Right? But think about this. I use Spanish because it's something that we're very familiar with, but what about Mandarin Chinese? Or what about Hindu? Or what about Greek? Or what about some other language that people speak? You ever hear people speak a language and you turn and you're like, that is something I've never heard before. I don't know what's coming out of their mouths. Sometimes there's someone speaking a strange language and we don't know what they're saying. It's almost impossible to get them to understand what you want to tell them. These people were able to communicate with one another, which when done rightly, produces unity and organization. We looked at that this morning in the book of Ezra. It said they were all as one man. The whole team worked as one person, just like if it were one person, one thought, because they could communicate. Here in the time of the Tower of Babel, they began to build this tower to heaven, but God was displeased with them, and he stopped the building. Look at how he stopped it. Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. That's a very interesting study, and it's a study we'll go to on another at another time. But think about this. God didn't break their legs. God didn't cripple their hands. He didn't crumble the bricks. He simply confounded their language, so they could not communicate. God did this for man's own good. He confounded their language. But Satan took notes. And if he was there the day that God told Adam, you shall not eat of this fruit, then he must have been there the day that God confounded that language, because God took notes, and Satan took notes of what God said there. And he took notes of what happened there. And he could see that confusing the language and disrupting the communication causes chaos. And from that point on, Satan has used that as a tool to break us apart, to separate us, and to cause us to distance each other. How many marriages do you suppose have been destroyed because of poor communication, miscommunication, or a lack of communication? If Satan could get us to quit talking to each other, we're sure to fall apart, whether as a family unit or as a church or as just individuals. This is evident in the system he established with the plurality of elders over the church, the congregation. God established us a system, and that system works. It doesn't matter how well you know the Bible or how much you know about the Bible. If you're not good at communicating, you'll never be able to get the message across. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Have you ever heard that phrase? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Can you understand what I'm... How many times have we said it to our kids? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm telling you? We've done this over and over and over. Why? We want to get a message across, and we don't know sometimes whether that message is getting across or not. I've noticed sometimes when we argue that we're both saying the same thing, whether with a co-worker, an employee, or with a spouse, or with even with a friend. When we argue about something, well, hold on, let's quit arguing about this, because we're both really trying to say the same thing in two different ways. Communication breakdown. It's interesting. Satan will tear us apart and break us down. We're only as good as we're able to communicate. We sometimes gravitate toward those who are more articulate than others. This is easily seen in the church. Some members are more likely to go listen to one speaker over another. Some people will simply go from one place to another, looking for that one person that will say things that they want to hear. Those that teachers having itching ears, so to speak. Failing to realize that they too have an obligation not only to hear, but also to communicate that message to others. How many times have we sat in the pews and we've heard over and over and over and over and over again the plan of salvation, yet we cannot articulate that to someone else? How many times have we heard, this is what God expects you to do, and yet we can't do it because we fail to prepare ourselves to do that? If you were told right now that your job will get an increase, your increase in pay, your pay increase will double. You will double your pay tomorrow, exactly double, twice what you're making today, same hours, same job, same everything, but you have to pass this simple test, and it's got 10 questions on the test, and you're going to take that test tomorrow. Would you study tonight? Absolutely. I believe everyone would sit down and say, tell me what that is. I'm going to double my pay. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to recite it. I'm going to ace this thing, and I'm going to double my pay. We are given directives from God of what we must do, and yet we don't work on it. We've heard it over and over, and yet we can't articulate it. We can't communicate it. Congregations can and will die if God's word is not effectively communicated to the lost. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The message doesn't get any clearer than that. Jesus communicated. He spoke and he said. It's interesting that what he said was that we need to communicate to others. He basically said that. We need to communicate the message. Not only that, but how we communicate with others is important. This is something that we often take for granted. We learn to speak at such an early age. When you think about this, you watch these little kids, they're a year old, and they're already starting to say words, mama, dada. Next thing you know, they're starting to put words together and sentences. By the time they're two, some people can speak in full sentences. Some of them are still jabbering. Nevertheless, speech comes over time. If we watch these children and they get to be 5 or 6 years old and they're still saying single words or just very short syllable words, 1 or 2 syllable words, mama, dada, something wrong, we need to go have them tested and see what's wrong. They're not hearing or something's not working because they're not learning to communicate. But once they do learn to communicate, some of them never stop, right? They jabber, 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 jabber. My point is this. I believe that sometimes since we learn to speak at such an early age, we take it for granted that this is just something that we do. we don't have to better ourselves when it comes to communicating because I've been doing it longer than anything else I can remember. I don't remember learning how to speak. It happened so long ago. So, something we take for granted, but there are some things that we need to know about our communication. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have you ever thought about this? What if someone said, excuse me a minute, I've got to go minister some grace to those people over there. Really? What are you going to say to them? Really, that's what that word says. What if God revealed to us that this is the first thing that we are going to be judged by? Do you suppose that we would pay a little more attention to the things that we say and how that we say them? Just like that test that will double our income, we would pay close attention to that test if we knew how serious the consequences were. What the verse doesn't say is let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth unless someone needs to hear that corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth unless you're really angry and you need to get the point across. I've gotten the point across many times from this very pulpit without using profanity. Some people feel they have to use it. This verse says let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Or it doesn't say, only use edifying speech when you feel like it. Or only edify those who deserve it. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our Christian comportment is often determined by our speech and the things that we say and how we say them have a lot of bearing on what people think of us and how they see us. This morning I spoke of how God sees us. How do others see us? Sometimes the things that we say are the only things that they know about us. I know working in a public area, oftentimes people listen in on conversations. You will be having a conversation with someone and there's someone over there waiting in line or waiting for something and they're listening to every single word. Often they will chime in. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes I'm working at my desk and I'll hear a conversation going on and I may cringe that I don't want to hear this conversation. Other times it's like, I want in on this. Hold on, what was that you were saying? I want to hear more about this. Communication is very, very important for people. It's important that we know what people think of us and that we are the ultimate... Ultimately, we're responsible for what people think of us by the things that we do and the way we act. Now, they can think of us whatever they want, but usually it's guided by our actions. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. I've had people come to me and ask for advice when dealing with a situation, marriage counseling or something like that, or just counseling in general. I'm not a counselor by any means, but one thing they say, well, what do I say if he says this? What do I say to her if she says this? If she comes to me, that's what do I say? How do I respond to that? And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that's had people ask that question. How do I respond to that? What do I say? Dad, how do I answer this? Mom, what do I say when they come to me? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. It's telling us that there is a way to answer people, and we need to know that way. There is a correct and acceptable way to speak to people. We need to be aware of it so that we are within God's will whenever we speak. I can assure you that 9 out of 10 arguments that I have with my wife are because I speak before I think. Or I'll say something without thinking about how I say it or what I'm saying. You ever had said something, perhaps something you thought would be funny or amusing, and by the people's reaction, you automatically think, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. or somebody gets slapped. Psh, yeah, I know I shouldn't have said that. Okay, well, let's regroup. I apologize. There are some times that we say things to people and they make it very obvious to us that we should not have said that. And we apologize and it doesn't work. Some people will not accept apologies. As sincere as we may be, I did not think about saying that. Before, I didn't mean to say it that way. I apologize, and they won't accept our apology. You think about this. For all of those people that will show us we said something wrong or point out our speech, whether they forgive us or not, there are some that will never forgive us, and we will never even know that we said something that offended them. That is, that we say something to offend somebody, and we don't even know it, and they're never going to bring it up to us because it hurt them, and they don't know it. That means that we need to let our speech be seasoned with salt. We need to know what we're saying, and we need to think about what we say at all times to guard against being offensive to someone. There's a correct way to speak and an acceptable way to communicate. Words are powerful and can cause more damage than good if we don't use our words wisely. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The psalmist reached out to God for help in controlling his tongue. Have you ever thought about that? Oh God, help me to say the things I need to say and to guard my speech. Psalm 141 and verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the door of my lips. The psalmist already said, look, keep this door. Be the gatekeeper of my mouth. That is, if you have the gatekeeper, if you think about the doorkeeper guards what goes in and what comes out. And the psalmist here says, keep the door of my lips, O Lord. Lord, watch out for me. Help me to make sure that I don't say the wrong thing. Ultimately, if we focus on being pleasing to God in our speech, then we will be pleasing to others and we won't be offensive to others. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are the words of our mouths acceptable to God? We may jokingly say things, not always. Yeah, well, sometimes they're pleasing to Him. Sometimes I say things. I've seen t-shirts that say things like, I can't be responsible for the words that come out of my mouth. Truth is, you're the only one responsible for the words that come out of your mouth. Man up and take responsibility. It's time that we stop and think about the words that we say and the things that we say and the words that we use and the way that we communicate. Luke 6, verse 45. Luke 6 and verse 45. Very simple passage here. Jesus says in Luke 6, 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Get the heart right, and the mouth will get right. You catch that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We talked about this morning that the heart is the intellect. Get the heart right, and the mouth will be right. If the heart's wrong, then the mouth sometimes will take its own course. Ever heard this phrase? His mind is in the gutter. We've heard that phrase. It's not uncommon for a good person to have evil thoughts cross his mind. That's normal. But when those thoughts spew forth from our speech or spew forth in our actions, then that's when we have problems. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth in until afterwards. It basically is saying that you're foolish if you just blurt out those things that are on your mind. And some people just can't help but say what they want to say, regardless of whether it hurts someone else or whether it makes them look like an idiot or makes them look bad. They say it anyway and just blurt it out. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Simply speaking and communicating are not necessarily the same thing. While it is possible for us to communicate in nonverbal ways, as I mentioned, and we do it often, the truth is, whenever we speak, no matter what we say or how we say it, we're communicating something. And it may be a lot more than the words, the meaning of the words that we use. Does that make sense? Because we can say something with certain words, and someone takes it, just was a simple statement. And in a different context, it wouldn't bother anybody. But in this particular context, it hurts and it pierces. And so we have to be careful with that. Because Satan is behind all of that, and he's watching out, and he's helping you in ways that you don't need help. He's making sure that you say things that you shouldn't say. And he helps you. He opens the... Sometimes it is Satan that is the one that is guarding the gate of our lips. And he opens the gate and lets things out before we really give time to think about it. And I should not have said that. I need to be more careful. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, and we'll close. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. This is the key to this verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That should be on the top of our hearts at all times. We should be thinking that Jesus specifically told us, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?